Good Sex, Getting Off Without Checking Out by Jessica Graham. Read by the author. Published by North Atlantic Books. Author note. The memoir aspects of this book are all true. The events and details have all been written as I remember them, to the best of my ability. Some identities and circumstances have been changed to protect the privacy of the various individuals involved. Disclaimer. This book is intended for general information purposes only. Any application of the material set forth in the following pages is at the reader's discretion and is their sole responsibility. To the DJ of life, you are a goddamn warrior. I love you. You must love in such a way that the person you love feels free. Thich Nhat Hanh. Sex is always about emotions. Good sex is about free emotions. Bad sex is about blocked emotions. Deepak Chopra. A lot of people are afraid to say what they want. That's why they don't get what they want. Madonna. This book is for you. It's for you in whatever kind of body you live in. It's for you in whatever way you express your sexuality. It's for you in whatever gender you identify with, and it's for you if you don't identify with any gender at all. It's for you in whatever way you choose to be in romantic relationships. This book is for you. Chapter 1. The Adventure Begins. I have been in the trenches. I know what it is like to squeeze my eyes shut during sex and hope that my partner is doing the same, terrified of seeing or being seen. I know what it's like to be able to relax and ask for what I really want only when I'm drunk. I know what it's like to only be attracted to people who don't treat me all that well, to feel more alone during sex, to have sex with someone I don't even like, to wonder if my spiritual life will ever spill over into my sex life. I know how it feels to be told that my sexuality is wrong. I know the sound of me faking an orgasm. I know the feeling that there must be something more. I have been there. Somewhere along the way, I decided to make a change in my life. Now I know what it is to turn on the lights and look directly into my partner's eyes as I come. I no longer need alcohol to help me relax or communicate. I have tools for working through periods of low sex drive. I can allow myself to be loved, respected, and treated with loving kindness. I know how to fully embody my pleasure, free from thoughts and anxiety. I now have a relationship that engages my sexual expression and is based on honesty and love. My spiritual life and sex life are interconnected. I don't allow the fears or judgments of others to dictate my sexual expression. I never, ever fake it. I have found that sexual discovery is endless. Of course, I haven't been exactly where you've been. We all have our own unique experiences in life and with sex. Sexuality is different for everyone, and the tools in this book are meant to be flexible to suit different people. I will share my story with you and what I have learned, with the knowledge that life is a constant process of learning and evolving. Not everything in this book will resonate with everyone. I do invite you to open your mind to what lies beyond your current comfort zone and adopt a stance of openness on this journey. Sitting down and practicing meditation every day re-engineered my whole life, including my sex life. It wasn't only meditation, of course. I also incorporated therapy, recovery groups, bodywork, writing, and reading into my practice. But meditation has been the bedrock from which my sexual awakening has sprung. This book will give you the tools to start a meditation practice if you'd like one, or deepen your practice if you already have one. After that, the next step is to bring mindfulness into your sex life. Sexual awakening isn't a spectator sport. It requires some work, and this book will guide you through the process. There will be plenty of fun along the way, though. Waking up can be an amazing adventure. Bringing mindfulness into sex invites you to open yourself to a bigger, richer, and more present life. If we put our sexuality in a shoebox under the bed, we are putting part of ourselves in there too. Every present moment, if we bring our full attention to it, is a chance to wake up. Awakening can happen while you load the dishwasher or while you press your lover's body against a wall and make her scream with pleasure. As you bring more mindfulness to your lovemaking, you can get a glimpse of your own brand of enlightenment. These moments of awakening that come from deeply experiencing sex add up. You may find that the intense connection you feel with your partner during sex extends to include the whole world. I have an old friend with whom I reconnected several years ago. The first few times we hung out, she spent a good deal of time sharing with me how much I had changed since we had been teenagers. Of course, most people do change during the years between 16 and 30-something. She reminded me how wild and reckless I had been. She told me of all the escapades I had led, adventurous tales of skinny dipping in strangers' pools and streaking in suburban neighborhoods. There were also darker tales of close calls with drunk driving and mornings of regret from the night before. It was a huge surprise to my friend that I was teaching people how to bring spirituality into their sex lives. "You told me you were totally over sex when you were 15," she said. I had only a vague memory of saying something like that, but she was sure of it. She recounted my tight jaw and stony words like it was yesterday. She told me that she had felt sad for me, being so jaded at such a young age. While I love who I am today and all those experiences led me to this point, I felt a little grief hearing about that teenage version of me. The long and winding road to good sex. It started in the back seat of a green Chevrolet Chevelle with an 18-year-old with tattoos and a ponytail. It was a chilly night in May at a graduation party out in the woods of eastern Pennsylvania. I was just 14, wearing my favorite flannel shirt and cutoffs. I had made a promise to my mom that I wouldn't drink that night, but not that I wouldn't get high. I smoked a joint and I set out on a mission. Tonight was the night. I would lose my virginity come hell or high water. The guy with the ponytail had been my crush all year and seemed like a good candidate. I noticed that he had his eye on another girl that night. I was relieved when she left early and he turned his gaze to me. He asked me to take a walk with him, and that walk ended in the back seat of his car. Right before he reached up to the glove box to get a condom, he asked, "You want to do this?" Afterward, when retelling the story to my friends, I changed this to, "Are you sure you want to do this? We don't have to if you aren't ready." I wanted him to seem more considerate. Looking back, I do appreciate that he asked for consent. That's more than I can say for a few other men I've been with. I kept my turquoise all-star high tops on the whole time. It hurt a lot, but didn't go on for long. Afterward, I told him that I'd remember that night for a long time. He lit a cigarette and said we should head back to the party. I had never even made out with anyone before. I was high and remember that night as if I was far away. I just did it because I thought it had to be done. It didn't really matter if I was actually present for it. Later that year, I had sex again. This time in a field with a 20-year-old, also with a ponytail. I was intoxicated again. This pattern went on for many years, sex without presence or intimacy, though not always with older men with ponytails, not always with men. What remained the same was my inability to really be conscious for sexual experiences.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?